And now it's time for the Coach's Show with Sterling Head Football Coach Dan Harris on Sterling High School Radio. And welcome to another edition of the Coach's Show right here on Sterling High School Radio. I am Rob Strauss, joined by head football coach at Sterling Silver Knights, Dan Harris, and also from Channel 19 fame, Tad Kozineski. Guys, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Let's recap a wild and probably one of the craziest games that we've ever broadcasted, both on Channel 19 and on Sterling High School Radio. A 35-34 win. First win. Congratulations on the first win, Coach.
Thank you.
How's it feel to get the first one underneath your belt?
It was an interesting one. It wasn't the way you, we won. That's the bottom line, but it wasn't the way you draw it up.
First half, totally dominated. 21-6 going into the locker room. Second half, a little bit different. Let's focus on the first half first. You got two touchdown runs from Demir Hutchinson, one from 25 yards out and one from 70 yards out. Put you guys up 15-0. Feeling pretty confident after that point?
Yeah, just you could tell the approach by us that, you know, you could see where we the talent level that we do have and the things we can do. We had some good stops on defense. And then, I thought we – that didn't hurt ourselves on offense. I just thought it kind of like seems like we slowed up a little bit. I don't think we have that that killer mentality yet.
Kind of a very entertaining for us in the booth to broadcast the game, and maybe for the casual fan, that must have been absolute chaos for you guys as a coaching staff, especially in that second half. But to walk us through a little bit of the madness that went into that game for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Well. Telling the kids, I believe the box score, I'm not overly concerned with the box score, that's certain things, but we won the first quarter, it was 21-6, nobody scored in the second quarter, third quarter, I believe they outscored us, and fourth quarter, I believe they outscored us, so we won one quarter, luckily we pulled out with a win, by 1 point because of the special team stuff, they went for two at the end, I guess they weren't confident in their kicker, so, the dynamics of the game changed with that kickoff return in the second half. And then certain things just didn't go our way, and we caught breaks, and then they caught breaks, and like you said, it was a crazy game.
Just focusing on the beginning part of the game, things were going very well. Why were things going so well for us at the beginning?
I just think we executed. We were picking up blocks. They gave us a different look than actually defensively, or our offense and their defense, they gave us a different look than we thought we were going to get. They gave us an even front. We were expecting an odd front the whole week because that's what they showed on film and multiple films. And last year, what we did at Riverside, we had a game scrimmage with them. So we were kind of, had an idea of what they were going to do against us. They didn't do that. They changed it up.
Well, then who's that most difficult change for? Is it for the offensive line? Is it for you guys as the coaching staff?
Or? Mainly, I would say the offensive line because when you practice things where everything we do is rule blocking on the offensive line, so there's a rule every play. So when you practice against a specific front all the time, the kids get used to that, and they don't necessarily – what we say is apply the rule, whatever your rule is. If it's gap down back or gap on down, whatever it is, if you don't apply your rule, then the blocking scheme gets messed up. If you're expecting they're just a line up here and I'm going to block that guy every time, well, things change all of a sudden. Now the kids got to think, and now they start messing up when they're thinking too much.
Now, as a coach, you see them come up with this different front. Mm-hmm. Is your initial reaction, uh-oh, or is it, I think we're going to be all right?
Yeah, we can block it. I mean, we're going to block any front that they put in front of us. We have an answer for everything. It's just that first the initial recognizing where they're lining up and then making sure we have the right play call on. And pretty much any call we have will block everything. It just may not be the right call at that time, but everything takes care of it.
Why do you think they switched then from what they were doing before? Any guesses why they might? Something looking at your team?
Maybe because what they saw Woodbury do. I really don't know. I was a little... I'm thinking maybe to get some of their bigger guys on the field because they had some decent size. So I'm thinking maybe they did that to get some bigger guys on the field.
And what were the differences between what they were showing and what they did and maybe how you attacked it early on?
Well, when we say odd front, that means covering the center. There's a guy head up on the center, slightly shaded one way. They didn't have that. They had guys over the guards and then a guy. They were mixing it up, outside the tight end, on the tight end, outside the tight end, inside the tight end. They kept mixing it up, so... with the even front. Then also usually teams will walk up their outside backers to make it like a 6-2, an older style defense, a 6-2. But they were in a true 4-4 with their outside backers off the ball. So it created a little confusion. But actually our wingbacks did a pretty good job recognizing that right away because we had something we have talked about with them because teams usually walk up because we're so condensed and we got everybody in the box. But our kids, I think, thought we handled it pretty well. I just thought – They started doing different things. There was the fundamentals, like, of, you know, on double teams, run throughs by the backers. We're moving the double team, but the backside linebacker ran through, and we didn't take care of that, where they were making tackles where a 5-yard gain should have been a 20-yard gain. So there was just some things that I thought in the second quarter we could do a little bit better with that.
Gateway's a team that within the last 10 years, Tad, that we've been broadcasting game has struggled numbers-wise mm-hmm. in a big way. This year they had quite a few guys on the sideline ready to go, and they've really kind of turned that program around. And they gave you everything you could handle in that second half. Like you said, you only played what you think, one quarter of football. You guys won one quarter of football. Did anything surprise you how they came out in that second half, or is that – basically what you guys scouted out on film?
No, because I knew, you know, the whole week I was saying to coach staff and the kids, I could tell on film they were lifting weights. They've gotten bigger and they've gotten stronger. And I think that's an X factor that Sterling has. We have to pick that up. We have to, you know, make that our X factor. You could see as the game wears on, when you play a team that's lifting weights, they're conditioning, you're doing all those things right, it starts to show, where you may be more talented than the other team and you come out and it shows right away. But the team that's in better shape, better condition, lifting and all that stuff, that takes a toll over four quarters.
What did the team learn from a win like this? A close win, up 21-6 at the half, wind up hanging on to win by one. What did the team learn from this?
I think a little bit more of the buy-in of what we're selling. We've told them it's on Sterling. Sterling can beat Sterling. We're a very talented team, but that doesn't win football games. Being talented doesn't win football games. Doing your job, doing your assignments, and learning to win, which means playing every down. You know, I don't think we've done that, you know, continuously throughout the season so far.
You have a couple of running backs who do run the ball. To us as fans, maybe your featured running back is Demir Hutchinson, at number 7, who's your fullback, and he runs a lot between the tackles. Mm-hmm. Do you find that at halftime and he's not available? Did you know going out for the third quarter he would not be available?
Well, it was – I know what play it was. It was like right around play 55. But
okay.
Somewhere in the second quarter he was out, and then at halftime we were told he was done for the game. So
how does that change the way you had a lead at this point? As a coach, you know, you have to put somebody else in there. How, in your mind, how did things change at that point, or did you just continue doing what you were doing?
We just do what we do. We're going to continue. You know, it's not going to be some magical play or something. You know, we're not going to change anything. We're going to play with who we got, next guy up. You know, I think with Nick, the offense coordinator, it could change some things as far as setting things up with different plays. But other than that, I mean, we're going to block things the way we block things, and we're going to give the ball to whoever's number's called.
Now, a big mental part in this game, and Rob brought it up earlier, was the kick return.
Mm-hmm.
Can you break down that play for us? Were your guys somewhat in position? Was it blocking by them? How did you read that when you looked at the film?
We were out of position. And then the effort, tackling-wise, there's just guys that – you know, didn't play with their eyes up, and then, you know, not where they're supposed to be and doing the fundamentals that, you know, I think that's part of the focus that we talk about with the kids all the time, is we, at times we lose our focus. So I think that mentality, we're young, a lot of sophomores, a lot of younger guys we didn't play varsity football last year. So understanding you have to do it when you come out. There's a long halftime. They had a little ceremony. And I think the kids just thought they were, you know, the other team was going to give up. And I think they learned the lesson the hard way.
Now, is it a case of, you hear coaches talk about staying in your lanes, things like that? It seemed odd to me because it went straight down the sidelines. Mm-hmm. Were you surprised the way it just went down the sidelines that close?
No, when a guy just runs by the tackle, no. So
you had guys somewhat in position, they just couldn't finish it off.
Yeah, they didn't take proper angles as far as, well, the first guy down missed it, and then the other guys had opportunities. I think, you know, we'll correct them. It's just little things.
Now, at that point, we broadcast from the home side.
Mm-hmm.
Gateway's in the game now. I mean, mentally, they're in the – it's a totally new game. You know Demir's out. What was the reaction of your players as you're getting them in the huddle and you're starting to talk as you come in after that kickoff?
I think there was a little uncertainty, like, what do we do now? You know, I pulled them together once they tied it up. Put them together and told them it's on you guys. You know, we have to play, you know, not worry about what goes on with the refs or with the other team, but we have to play. And I think we're learning that lesson, and, you know, hopefully we continue to do that.
One of the most frustrating things as fans is, and as coach, we can't make the tackles. Mm-hmm. We can't make the throws. How frustrating was it for you defensively, especially? Because in that second half, Gateway was doing everything that they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. How frustrating was that for you as the momentum of the game went along?
Very frustrating because it's tough to see, you know, the linebacker fits on the field all the time. You know, other things are going on. I think that the defensive line needs to step up. There's certain things we're asking them to do, and they're not doing it. So, like I said, there's no magical cure or defensive scheme or offensive scheme. It's just we're going to continue to do what we do, and the kids have to get better at what we do.
The game came down to two-point conversion, mm-hmm. so I'm going to ask a quick question about that. They're coming down the field. We all got the sense, all right, it's coming down. We know their kicker's out of the mix. We know it's coming down to two-point conversion. As you're planning what you're going to do defensively, knowing that there's a pretty good chance we might be talking about a two-point conversion, what's going through your mind as you're getting ready? And then talk about that actual play you called and what happened, because that was the game right there.
Well, the what they were doing is running just a simple off-tackle play, and they were running what we call a handbacker. It's a counter play. And then a speed option play. So they're pretty much running three things. And the plays, the stunt and blitz we were calling, you know, was the right call, was the right answer. It was just certain times, third and long, I was taking a guy off the field and adding a safety on the field. So I think they caught us off guard a couple of times. But on the two-point conversion, it was, you know, just going to go with the same call. You know, that I think they had the right call on, but we had – what they did is they were running speed option to the non-tight end side. On that play, for some reason, I don't know if it was a boot or if it was supposed to be speed option, but they ran it to the tight end side. So I don't know if it was a mistake on their part or if they just thought that was something, but that was really the play that they were getting us on, was a speed option play.
So it was almost you were somewhat anticipating that that might be what they might go to. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a great call. To me, that was the game right there, Rob. Yeah.
I agree. And going back to Demir a little bit, he's, I would say, the feature back in the, mm-hmm. in this offense right now, three games into the season. But I think somebody getting lost in the shuffle there is Larry Bay. Also ran for two touchdowns, one of 68 yards and one of 53 yards. Talk to us a little bit about Larry Bay and the job that he's done and the job that he did on Friday night filling in for the injured Demir Hutchinson.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's no real you know, the offense is designed, you know, we run the ball. There's certain things that we do to different fronts and coverages. You know, it's really, you know, we have every single guy we put on the field has the ability to break a long run every time. It's just whether or not we do it. And I thought Larry, you know, had two opportunities on the counter early on in the game. He hit that for big. The blocking was great on that. And then he saw daylight and, you know, most guys aren't going to catch him. And then on the reverse play at the end of the game, I thought that was a really great block. We had a really great block by our guard, Mike Moyer's, you know, ceiling around there. So I thought that's something we talked about to him with him at halftime about, you know, if we call this, you got to, you know, this block is going to be tougher for you and you got to get it. And he did. And I think that, you know, and then Larry, you know, capitalized on the opportunity.
Gateway has one of the nicest fields in South Jersey with the AstroTurf. Did that impact the players at all or any of your play calling or anything like that? I mean, it wasn't a wet night by any stretch of imagination, but is there a way that the players adapt to that or do they like playing on that surface better than grass?
I don't know. I didn't really talk about it. No, we just play. I don't look too much in that stuff. I do know that, you know, my experience on it, playing on it and coaching on it is that when it's hotter, usually it becomes an issue because your feet start to like burn a little bit because there's a lot of friction there.
Okay.
Like the bottom of your feet on the actual, in your shoe, it's rubbing around a lot and it gets a lot hotter in there. But other than that, I don't, you know, in a cooler weather, there's really no issue.
Now, you as a player, both in high school and college, what did you prefer on a Friday night game? You have the choice between AstroTurf and grass. What do you prefer?
Depends on the weather. If it's raining, I prefer the turf because there's no slip. There's no real mud issues. A lot of, you know, coaching at Clearview a few years back, it was like a monsoon. We were playing Shawnee, and there was really not too many issues with slipping or anything. You know, it was coming down bad. But I would say, you know, as a player, when it's hot, it was bad. And then the they don't really have it there at Gateway, but the crushed up rubber that's on it, it gets in your shoes and your eyes and it irritates, you know, the kid, you know, it's annoying.
What position did you play?
Defensive end.
What was your strengths? Were you pass, receiver, blocker? What would you think your best traits were?
For defensive end, when you're playing?
I
don't know. I don't know.
Were you go get the quarterback?
Yeah,
you...
I just like defense. Yeah, tackling.
All right. We get the first win underneath your belt, which is, I'm sure, a great feeling to have, albeit probably not the way that you wanted to win. I'm sure you wanted to win that thing 35-6 as mm-hmm. opposed to 35-34. You made a great radio for us, being, you know, broadcasting the game. Looking ahead now to tonight's game against Audubon, a lot of they're coming to the game 1-2 as well. They're coming off a loss against Collingswood, who's one of the, I guess, up-and-coming teams in the Colonial Conference, now has a real big turnaround year this year so far. What can you tell us about Audubon?
Their quarterback's a good player. They got a couple good backs, a couple good receivers. So, you know, I think we just have to be sound on defense, you know, assignment-wise, and we got to tackle. With the weather, you know, I don't know the outcome. I just know what has happened to me in the past with, you know, bad weather games and with the field and all that stuff. So it's just, you know, us coming to play because they got to deal with the conditions too.
I'm going to get a little bit of the weather in a second, but normally they spread the field all over the place. Mm-hmm. Defensively, what positions have the biggest challenges with a more wide open spread field with a quarterback who can throw and is willing to run it if he has to?
I think it more has to do with getting in space and then like any type of cut or change of direction. If you don't have your feet underneath you or you catch a bad patch of grass or whatever, you could slip and fall, and that could be the difference between a 2-5 yard gain, you know, 5 yard gain or a touchdown. So I think, you know, we have to be conscious of those things.
Defensive backs, normally in high school, you don't see a quarterback who can – he's got a lot of poise, he's got a lot of patience, and he's got a pretty strong arm. How much pressure is on your defensive backs the game to cover wide receivers on a high school level in open space?
Every week, because of what we do schematically, there's a lot of pressure on our guys all the time. So they're used to it. So it's something, you know, we expect. We do the same thing.
We saw Larry Bay get picked on quite a bit down the left-hand side of the sideline, especially towards the latter half of that game in Gateway. What do you work on with Larry Bay and your other defensive backs to try and make them better defensive backs? Like, what's a specific drill that you guys work on? Because Larry Bay is not a big guy. He's by 5'8", 5'9", working against some of those receivers against Gateway that were 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah, I wouldn't say picked on. I would say it's the one, you know, in my opinion, it looked like the kid's pushing off.
We'll say he was pushing off. We can say that.
I thought we were in great coverage. I just think we have to get better at, turning and playing the ball. It's stuff we work on all the time, and we're going to continue to get better at it. So I think we're fine. We're in position. It's not like we're out of position. It's just a matter of playing the ball, and we'll be fine.
I think Kevin Shules picked up on the push off as well on one of the plays that they gained 40 yards or so on. He did note that, and we made mention of it in the broadcast.
Speaking of the odd part of the game, and again, I don't want to get too much into the referees, and I don't want anything specific on the referees. There was one odd play in the game that maybe you can explain it to us. They had a measurement. The ball was spotted and tackled in the middle of the field, and for some reason they moved the ball to your side of the field. What happened there?
I don't know. I don't know why they did that. The coaches, we all were asking why. I don't know. It was clearly a first down too, so I have no idea.
And then, again, if you didn't see the game, then they moved the ball back to the middle of the field. I had never seen that in all my years. I couldn't even come up with an explanation why.
I don't know if there's something with the crown of the field. They thought it would change. I really couldn't tell you, so I don't know.
All right. I was wondering if they said anything, because I know the other coach was extremely upset. And that fed into the oddness of the way that game went down. That's just something that popped into my head, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, we were all trying to figure it out in the booth. None of us could really figure that one out. This is the first of four straight home games here for Sterling. Opening up, obviously, tonight against Audubon, West Deptford, Haddon Township, and then Overbrook. How important is it for you guys to get a W here and get off to a good start on this big four-game homestand?
Yeah, every game is important, and this one's, you know, more. You know, I can't say it's more important than next, but we have to take care of business. You know, I thought we did a pretty good job of practicing this week. You know, we have the injury bug, so we're making some adjustments. So we'll see what happens.
I didn't get a chance to talk to you specifically about your first home game here. What was your reaction to the crowd and the way things were going for you here?
I thought it was great. Kind of experienced that last year at Riverside. It was a little bit different dynamic. It was my first home game at Riverside against my former coach. He was coming in, so that was pretty neat. And it was a big crowd there. You know, it was great. I thought we had great support, the school, the community, you know, parents showing up. I thought, you know, I enjoyed it. So I hope we continue that.
Did you see a difference in your players?
Yeah, it's always a little different when you have more eyes on you. When you see a lot of people, you know, familiar faces in the crowd, you know, you're going to play a little bit harder. If, you know, you only see, you know, 15 stands in the crowd, it's not the same. You know, not to say you're not going to play hard, but I don't think it's the same.
Got it.
Audubon coming off of a 27-14 loss against Collingswood last week. We're coming off of a win, albeit a very close one. What's the key to the game for you guys tonight as you guys prepare for the green wave?
Tackling, you know, when they complete passes, and I think keeping the quarterback in the pocket and tackling him when he's in the pocket, and not let their ground game get going.
Now, when they spread the field, how tough is it for your ends to keep him in the pocket?
It's something we drill. It's something we do. It shouldn't be hard. But to say it's not going to be hard, I can't say that. But
do they have to rush any differently to try and nap just regular? No changes?
Nope. Everything's the same.
Okay.
Damir Hutchinson back for tonight's game?
We'll see right before the game, see what he does.
See what happens. It should be a great game, albeit the weather. We're not sure what's going to happen with the weather with tonight. Any drills that you guys work on? You guys do the wet ball drill where you guys –
Nothing. We don't, you know, I don't put too much. I mean, you know, make sure we have a towel, you know, keep the ball dry. And, you know, the ball boy will have, you know, keep towels around to dry the extra ball.
Offensively against Audubon, I saw them against Haddon Heights, and it seemed like Audubon was having no problems going between the tackles. Is that what you see on the games you've seen from Audubon so far?
Yeah, well, our defense is a little bit different, so – I would hope I could say we're going to do better against stopping the run. Like I said, we got to get them. They have two good backs that I think can get the job done. So we got to make sure we're tackling those guys so that they don't get moving.
But offensively, how about when you guys have the ball? It seemed like they were struggling stopping on their end as we would have the ball going.
Oh, okay.
Are you looking for a little more success up the middle than normal? Or
no, the same. I mean, we've. Every week we've rushed for over 250. I think last week we rushed for 370. So I think, you know, that's what we do. So, hopefully continued success.
It just looked to me like that was the weaker part of their game. Is that kind of how you would read their defense? Or it's hard to say?
No, it doesn't. To us, it's where they line up, where we're going to figure out where they line up and, you know, call our plays from there.
Defensively, do they present any type of formations based on the something that you've already seen?
No,
we've
seen a few looks, so we're preparing for, you know, different stuff.
Okay.
Should be a very interesting game tonight with the weather being what it is. Should be a great contest tonight. Sterling looking to go to – both teams actually looking to go 2-2 on the season. Coach, we wish you the best of luck tonight, and good luck. Go get them out there.
Great. Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of the Coach's Show. Tad, thank you again for joining us. And coming up just shortly is going to be kickoff, Sterling and Audubon. You've been listening to the Coach's Show right here on Sterling High School Radio. Once again, kickoff coming up shortly. We'll be back right after this.